Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, congratulations. We have done it. The globe has surpassed 1 million dead from the coronavirus. And we, as Americans, we've led the way. That's right. We are number one. More than 204,000 Americans have died from the coronavirus. Brazil, second at about 141,000. So we're way ahead of everybody else. I guess the way we should be, America. Scary, scary stuff. And yet we still got Florida going to swing the doors wide open. Go on. Everything's the way it should be. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day, our good friend, former congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
So we've, as a globe, surpassed 1 million people dead from this, and yet you got places like Florida going, eh, not a big deal.
Yeah, well, I think, too, that people will come back. I hear it every day of what is the death rate, you know, how much is it globally? With a million people divided into 7.5 billion, or 2 billion, I hear it every day, people go to the death rate versus the spreading of the disease.
Yeah. Now, the thing that gets me is, you know, we've got an administration, though, that, you know, doesn't seem to be, you know, had we taken this seriously from the beginning, and now we find out that they knew all along and made the choices they made on purpose, maybe we wouldn't be in this position.
Well, I think if everything had acted a lot earlier, also the question of do you try to look at this from a national basis versus each state doing, you know, a piece of the puzzle, you know, of how they do it, and another state does it differently, and you've just got this patchwork of 50 different approaches.
Yeah, and you've got. You know, the CDC, who I got to be honest at this point, judging from all of the craziness and all of the, you know, the back and forth, I don't know who you, I don't think we know who to believe at this moment. In fact, there was a story the other day that the director of the CDC, this Robert Redfield, you know, he said, you know, on a plane for everybody to hear that he doesn't trust the guy that Trump is, you know, making one of his top advisors on this coronavirus task force, this Dr. Scott Atlas. And basically he came out, he said, look, everything the guy believes, everything he says is false. And the new, you know, NBC News, you know, confirmed it. How do you go forward in an environment where, who do you believe?
Oh, it's true. I mean, I don't know what to believe. You know, first you wipe things down, then you don't wipe things down. The CDC says one thing. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard Dr. Fauci in weeks, have you? Nothing.
No, they've done a nice job of sequestering him, and now we find out that Dr. Birx claims to be under stress, and she's ready to head for the hills.
So, it's
scary stuff, and we're heading into what was from the beginning going to be the most dangerous period throughout this whole thing, and that's the next couple of months.
Right. And then, you know, a different patchwork of school policies, and one school's doing one thing, and next door they're not doing the same thing, and then, you know, people are angry about that. I mean, it's just there's no standard approach to the thing at all.
It's crazy. Let's get to the big story, the tax returns. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on the tax returns? Are you uncomfortable with the fact that they were leaked? I'm a little uncomfortable with that because, you know, it could be anybody's. But the other side of it is, one, I think we have a right to know. On the other side of that, there's really nothing in there we didn't already know.
Well, it points out a bigger picture. I think, I mean, overall, I was shocked. I honestly thought, you know, well, he paid $20,000. You know, I mean, really, I was shocked. But then again, it points out a bigger picture. And I don't know how the audit will turn out, but if I'm correct, I think Amazon pays nothing. I did a podcast with an attorney that loves to put the list together of who pays nothing in America. And so on a bigger note, this is happening all over the place. You pay, I pay, the listeners pay. But, you know, the big boys don't pay. A lot of them don't. And it's unbelievable. So on that note, I think, you know, if anything, let's remember that so many people get away with this. I think making suspect to me, I mean, first of all, is it true? Yeah, most likely it is. But what's suspect is probably the New York Times probably had this. I don't think they just, automatically, here it was handed to us, and it's just enough time, happens to be the day before the debate, we put it out. I mean, it makes it suspect. So if they did have this and they had it 5 months ago, I think they should have put it out 5 months ago, personally. I think they should have. So the timing makes it suspect. Will it change some votes? It may change a few, but overall, I mean, my first thought is, how do I do that? How do I, you know, stop paying anything?
No, and it's not. It's even worse than that. I mean, there are hundreds of companies that don't pay any taxes. But there are some that we actually pay beyond. They get a bigger refund. They get like an EITC check for
right.
corporate welfare that
right.
we pay them to exist. And again, you know, the whole, and this is where I went into at the beginning, our whole tax code is upside down. And for me, it all goes back to, you know, Reagan and the supply side voodoo Reaganomic mentality that said, if we give the rich people and the corporations all the money, it's going to magically trickle down on us like rivers in gold and honey. And it's been rivers of gold. It's just, you know, the kind that are supposed to be on the tape of Donald Trump.
Well, like I said, with Trump, this is going to continue to, by the way, every week, more will leak out from the New York Times. And in the end, as much as it's terrible that he paid $750, in the end, though, you've got to look at the policies. What's he going to do policy-wise? What's Joe Biden going to do policy-wise? You know, or otherwise, if some other paper comes out with something on Biden, then it becomes Biden did this on a personal level and Trump did that. So which one do you want to pick? I think it's got to be a policy thing. But on the biggest picture on this, you know, Netflix, if I remember right, you know, Amazon, Chevron, Delta, IBM, I can go on and on, paid no taxes.
Yep. Occidental Chevron. Petroleum, Honeywell. We can go down. There's a list of like 300 companies that have an effective tax rate of zero or negative numbers.
Right. It's disgusting. And so I hope if anything comes out of it that, you know, you know, the code changes.
Yeah, and this is something
right.
that I've been screaming about the whole time. I never believed there was going to be a smoking gun with Russia in the tax returns, because not even the shady tax attorney would allow that to go in. For me, it was always about the conversation about the rate that they pay, the deductions that they abuse, and we find out, you know, one of my favorite. You know, we paid the daughter $750,000 in consulting fees. How do I do that? I got three kids. Can I make them consultants and pay their college fee out of that?
Right, exactly.
It's just insane. But, you know, immediately I got a bunch of conservatives going, this is illegal. You should be angry. And I'm going, I got to be honest. I think if you're running for president, this should have been vetted from the beginning, because there is the important part of the fact that he's hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, and that debt is coming due, and we have no idea who he's in debt to.
Right, right. Correct.
It's crazy. Do you think this will come up in the big debate?
Oh, yes. I think it's going to be probably the first question out of the box.
Are we expecting, sure. What kind of fireworks are we expecting? Or do you think this will be kind of subdued? Because Trump keeps trying to lower the bar, it seems.
He is lowering the bar on it. They'll attempt to get Biden, you know, angry. I think Biden's best interest is not to go in like a gladiator, keep his cool. Try to keep to issues as much as humanly possible. But yes, the Trump campaign has dumbed this down.
Yeah.
You know, they're not putting the bar high. I think they're just trying to convince him that this is the real deal. You just can't go in like you did 4 years ago and, you know, accuse people's parents of killing Kennedy and things like that.
You know, that would be a little tough.
Yeah. I'll never go over that one, Rick, of all of them. I'm sorry. That was the top of the food chain.
That was right there. And that should have been one of those moments where the country collectively went, next.
Well, it allowed me on radio to say he's going to get elected. And then most of the radio hosts, you didn't do this, but most of them were like, well, how could you say that? And I said, well, because Hillary didn't go up 15 points. The more he said things, she didn't budge.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you're like, okay, something's going on.
If I'm advising Biden, there's got to be a minute in a moment in the debate where Biden just turns to him and goes, "No, keep going. I'll give him my time. Right. Just keep going."
Right. Something. You know, not a vicious shark attack level, but something that makes fun of him or, you know, brushes him aside. That's the best thing Biden could do.
Yeah, I'm right there. And the more that he can do that, the better. I mean, because I had this conversation with a guy yesterday. And I was like, you know, for me, if I'm up there and he starts on a ramble and this incoherent nonsense that he does on these fantasy tours he does, I just say, you know, by all means, let him have my time. You just keep digging there, buddy.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Now, as we talked about the last time, National Guard's been called out in Cleveland, as I understand.
Yes. And I think that DeWine has done that. I mean, I'm not, like, alarmed over this. I think DeWine's done it because they don't want, you know, some kind of major brouhaha on the streets, which we hope doesn't happen. It'll take away from, you know, the debate. So I think he's done it as a preemptive thing. DeWine's really not the type to try to, you know, just get things stirred up.
Right.
And I think it's more of a preemptive thing.
ACB. Evidently, we're now calling her ACB. Instead of Amy Coney Barrett. In fact, in kind of a backward slap, they're now selling notorious ACB shirts. And for a minute, I had to go, what the hell is ACB?
Until it, like, you know, AOC, ACB?
Well, you know, RBG. You know, the right. thing was notorious RBG for Ruth right. Bader Ginsburg. Now they're trying to make her the new, the anti-Ginsburg, which, you know, sadly, you know, she's going to be. She's the antithesis of everything Ruth Bader Ginsburg stood for. And as one person told me, Barrett's going to walk through all the doors that Ginsburg opened for her and then slam them behind her.
Right. I actually, one of my Facebook friends was saying the same thing. One thing on this, I think that they've got that the Democratic side has to watch. I mean, it's going to happen, and you should, you know, they should put up the good fight. But for example, there was a it wasn't a Democrat, quote, citizen, but there was a Democrat activist who had said something about the adoption, you know, of the two kids.
From Haiti.
Right, and then she has seven children. One of the children has Down syndrome.
Right.
And I think that there's a bit of a box in here for the Democratic side in the sense that if she performs well, forget the issues for a second, and I know that sounds horrible, but if she performs well, the Democratic side is going to have to watch how they go after her. And they've got to watch anything like, you know, the one, wasn't Democrat National Committee person, but one of the activists, watch what you say on the adoption and the kids. And, you know, it could be used as a sympathy, personal sympathy, versus the issues of how she will vote on the court.
That's and they're going to make her religion part of this, but you can't make religion the focus of it.
There you go, and that's the thing. It's Catholic, and you sure don't want to have that one laid out all over the table debating about Catholics right now. So, yeah, I think they have to be, you know, they have to focus on exactly where she would be on health care and the Affordable, you know, Care Act and reproductive rights, et cetera. And they have to focus very spotlight narrowly on there. Speaking of spotlights, let Senator Kamala Harris and let her shine on the committee. And you know why I say let her? I've served on committees, not one of the note of judiciary in the Senate, but I've served on House committees. And boy, everybody wants their time in front of the camera.
Yep.
It wouldn't hurt a couple of people to yield to Senator Harris.
No, absolutely. I had said that, you know, I would let her exclusively do the interrogating. Because you don't want it to be the man-woman thing either. But
right.
you want to stick to those issues, like you said. Stick to reproductive rights. Stick to affirmative action, you know, and civil rights. Health care, huge. Make this about what the vision of the country that she's going to shape is going to look like. Because I've been saying, from a workers' rights perspective, we're going to be going back to the days of Lochner. You know, where if you were, you know, desperate enough and hungry enough to work in poverty conditions for desperation wages, that was your liberty, buddy. But we're going right back to those days.
Right.
And I think this is an education process. I think you're spot on. There's no stopping this. So what you've got to use it for, I think, is to educate people of what the world is going to look like in a 6-3 world.
Right. And it's got to be done carefully. Don't make it about religion. You know, narrow it to where she will be on these things. And the other thing is, I'm not sure it benefits for this to turn into a 24/7 media cycle on her, and then it comes to conclusion, she gets appointed, and a lot of the campaign messages, you know, for the Senate races and the presidency are lost. So yes, they've got to fight the good fight, but they've got to be careful how they do it.
Yeah, because there isn't a lot of time. Now, I saw an interesting story. Sarah Palin's back in the news.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she evidently, she's threatening Lisa Murkowski to do the right thing. She says that, so you should walk back. We'll forgive you. If you can't do that, remember my house. I can see a lot of things from my house, she said, Lisa. I can see 2020 from her house, which I thought was pretty funny. I mean, she's taken the I can see Russia thing from, you know, to good heart. Evidently, not only can she see Russia, she can see the future. But this is, you know, this isn't a veiled, this is an outright threat to Murkowski. Vote in line or I'm coming after you.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I haven't actually heard anything about Sarah Palin for a long time.
And thank goodness.
Nothing. I mean, used to be she was kind of the darling of the circuit, but I haven't heard anything. It's the first bit.
Yeah, she went a little kooky. I mean, she was doing that whole Glenn Beck TV thing, and then she went off her own. And I think a lot of people felt like they got cheated because it wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm. You know, for a while, she was, you know, looked at, listened to, et cetera, and then she kind of evaporated.
Yeah. Last question. After tomorrow's debate, do you think there'll be a second one?
Yes. Yes. I think there'll be a total of three.
I know they're scheduling three.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there will be a second.
I think so, unless the two of them, like, cross over to each other and start shoving each other around on stage, which would be interesting,
would be
to be honest with you. I mean, it really would. I hate to admit it, but it'd be, like, kind of cool. That would honestly, after 2016, the debates, everything said, after everything that's happened, you know, after the killer dragon hornets and coronavirus, this would just top it.
That would be it.
It would top it off.
Seeing him Biden roll up his sleeve. All right, old man, bring it on.
Yeah, and I'm Saturday Night Live. We go wild for about 6 months on it.
That would be great.
Right.
But as always, Bob, I appreciate the time.
Thanks,
man. Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Ney. I want to see it. I want to see the rumble in the jungle there. Quick break, right back.